All right, everybody, I'm going to try to leave the line open. This call is for SEC members, and therefore it's a smaller call. That's why I'm trying to do it non-operator assisted. If you are going to have background noise, please hit your mute button so that we don't hear it. So far, so good. I've got several things that I'd like to do on this call. I'm going to start first with the housekeeping and get that out of the way. Let's talk about this retreat that most of you are actually eligible for on us. If you're an SEC member, of course, you know what that means. It means you've actually accomplished something. And we are proud to have a group like that of movers and shakers. And it's my goal to keep building that group because I think it's going to be a fun group to hang around. I think you guys are going to get a lot out of it. And I think we will, too. I'm going to learn a lot from you folks on your obstacles, your successes. In fact, we're going to have that conversation here on this call as well. So be prepared right now to tell us, A, what your biggest issue is, and B, I want you to talk about what you've learned. What have you learned over the past few months that you want to share with the rest of the group, and what's standing in your way, and how's your business going in general? So let's get the housekeeping done. You should know by now that we are going to have this retreat on October 11, 12, and 13. However, my experience tells me that we have to actually tell you this about 9-10 times and notify you every possible way known to man to make sure everybody got notified. The carrier pigeons will be leaving here tomorrow morning, heading towards you, and the confirmation letter will be wrapped around their foot. So let me repeat this information. So write this down. I'm relying on all of you to actually take care of your own business here now so that we don't have to hear, well, I didn't get the information. And if you're on this call right now and you did not get the confirmation letter for the retreat coming up in October, tell me now. So everybody got it. All right. We are going to be at the Dollywood Dream More Resort. And I will tell you, according to my wife, it is one beautiful place. It's brand new. It's only a year old now. And it is right in the Dollywood Resort area. Now, let me go over quickly what we're paying for those of you who are qualified, because there's a few on here that are not qualified, so you're paying for your own. But we have rooms reserved for our folks that we're paying for. And here's how it works. You're going to have to reserve your own room. We are not going to reserve your room for you. You're going to have to use your own credit card to hold it. We'll pick up the bill. I don't know how long you're going to want to be there. And honestly, if I were you, I'd probably take a couple more days off and enjoy the place while you're there because Gatlinburg is 5 miles from Pigeon Forge. Gatlinburg is, you could spend a couple of days in Gatlinburg and not even come close to seeing everything. Make sure you take your credit card because it's certainly a tourist trap. Pigeon Forge is a totally different kind of place than Gatlinburg. It's not the shops. Gatlinburg is one shop right after another, one restaurant right after another, and some cool stuff going on. But Pigeon Forge is more spread out. There's amusements rides there. There's activities. There's, golf cart parks. It's just an entertaining place, but it's more spread out. Dollywood is in Pigeon Forge, and it's a park all of its own. So, if you're going up there, you're in the beautiful Smoky Mountains, and actually in October, one of the nicest times of the year to be there. Hang around for a couple more days, enjoy it, make a vacation out of it. But if you're going, you want to get your plane fare booked. You can either book into Asheville or Knoxville. Either one, they're about equal distance from Pigeon Forge. If I were flying, I'd probably take Knoxville. I think it's only about 35 miles from Pigeon Forge. And the room rate is $189 if you're paying on your own. If you're not, then, of course, that's what we're paying for you. Now, here's the problem. You're booking into a resort, and you're booking into the hottest month of the year. Do not hang around and sit around and expect to get rooms in Dollywood. We have a block. That block is going to be released about 6 or 8 weeks prior to the event starting. So you got to get your room booked now so that it is reserved for you and you don't get disappointed and have to try to stay somewhere else. And again, you do that on your own. You reserve it. If you're eligible, we'll pay for it. So Before I go any further, are there any questions on that trip at all? This is an open mic.
Hey, Ron.
Yes.
If we're bringing, can we bring, like, kids with us, or is this adult-only type deal? What do you recommend there?
Our meeting will be adults-only, but this is a perfect place for kids, as long as you know what to do with them while we're meeting.
Okay.
Incidentally,
should we pre-buy tickets?
I'll be paying your ticket into Dollywood for you, but you'll pay for your own for your kids. And I wouldn't expect you to go to Dollywood without taking your kids.
Okay.
If you're bringing them, they will love it.
Okay, awesome.
You'll love it even more. And if you've never been to Dollywood, guys, you really don't know what you're in for. It's I don't know what's a popular amusement park in country right now. Six Flags. Dollywood is not Six Flags. Dollywood is not rides and games like you would expect in an amusement park. It's really a cool place, and there's nothing else like it. And you'll feel like you're back in the 1800s, and they go out of their way to dress for the part, act the part, and you can spend a day in Dollywood and not come close to seeing what you want to see, but I think you're going to enjoy it. Kids love it, adults love it, and for me, it's pretty much the only amusement park that I even care about, but I don't know how to describe it, but you'll see. Besides, we're paying your way in. What do you care? So if you're not happy, we'll give you all your money back. Any other questions on that?
Thank you.
All right. Okay. So let's... couple more things. Number one, you guys should be aware that I'm doing a one-time-only special time management event in June in Jacksonville. And, of course, you all need it. Everyone needs it. And I am literally going to spend a good part of my vacation year coming up. Sunday, I'm getting in an RV, and we're going to be gone for the whole month of May. And I've hired my grandson, Jesse, to drive it for me, so I don't have to drive, and I expect to get some work done on this thing. And one of those things that I'm going to be working on is putting on the agenda for this time management boot camp coming up in June, and it's really going to be a great event. You really should get in this thing. It's June 21 and 22, and it's only $995 a couple. I promise you it's well worth your time and effort and money to get down here if you just do that. But I would remind you that business management is right behind it. The 23rd, 4th, and 5th. So make it a five-day trip. The business management will also change somewhat this time. I'm going to work on it as well. In fact, it will not contain time management because I'm doing it on the 21st and the 22nd. Now, if you are a master, or if you're a master, of course, you know you get to come to business management for free. You just got to tell us you're coming. And if you're not, the time management is, if you're a master, the time management is $9.95 for non-masters and 10% off of that for masters. So, Debbie, I hope they're aware of that upstairs. Are you here, Debbie?
Yes, I'm on, Ron.
Okay. Make sure that they know that masters always get 10% off.
Got it.
And if you're not a master of business management, we're going to let you in there for $19.95 if you are not already comped for masters or whatever. So, gosh, worst case, you're not a master, and it's only $3,000 for both of those events. Well worth your time. Call our office and get registered for that, because if anybody needs to come to this, it's you guys, because you are the stars, you are the rising stars, and without this time management and structuring of your business, there's always going to be great big old gaps, and literally you could take years figuring out what the issues are, and I've already spent those years for you, so come get what you can out of me while you can. All right, back to the trip for a minute. Is anybody on this phone not going to be in Dollywood in October at the resort, at the meeting? Everybody coming then? Okay, I would appreciate it if you would just email our office and confirm that so we know. All right, let's start with, I'm going to do some round robin. I'm going to do some hot seats here. I'd like for you to volunteer to come on board, and let's just tell me what's going on in your business. Let's start by how are you doing? I mean, I can't make everybody do it. I think I got about 18, 19, 20 SEC members on the phone here, but just on a volunteer basis, what's happening? Are you growing? One at a time. Who wants to start?
Well, I can start, Ron. It's Lynette and Brian Wolf. How you doing?
Well, we know you're growing.
I just want to share one really quick thing. We just got done doing our lease free health course.
How did it go?
Oh, my goodness. You know how we have sell the first weekend? Well, we actually, those two houses that we showed you, Ron.
Yeah, we had two open houses at the same time on Saturday. And we brought all the students out on a bus, and they actually helped us set them all up. They put up some of the streamers and the swooper signs and all this, and then we had a ton of people come to both of them. And what was the result, Lynette?
We actually, not only did we sell the first weekend both houses, we sold both houses in 2 hours, okay?
No kidding.
Yes. Yeah. It was so, I mean, the students on the pre-house bus tour were just flabbergasted. They were so impressed. I mean, they couldn't believe the mob scene and just the excitement and the synergy. And we got a $40,000 non-refundable deposit from one of them and a $15,000 non-refundable. They were both exiting out with lease purchase buyers, and it was phenomenal.
Yeah. And we got one of those houses for a subject two for $220. They had $200 on the first, $20 on the second. We just took it subject two. The other one was a free and clear house that it was inherited by two sisters, and we bought it for $225 on owner financing with nothing down, and we sold them both for $289. So,
very nice.
Isn't that phenomenal, Ron?
I didn't think you guys actually really did this business. I thought you just talked about it.
Yeah, right.
Love this business.
Okay.
You know, of course,
that all of our listeners are now going to be expecting you to teach them this open house thing up in Gatlinburg.
That's right. Sell the first weekend. And we bought a brand new a drone. It just came out. They have this brand new drone that came out. So we have incredible footage of this event.
Yes, getting on the bus, driving to the houses. And also we took everybody to our office, which was really cool. We jammed everybody in there, and we had a nice session there and showed them how the cubicles are all set up and how you guys can have an office of your own. Because you guys are all just about at that level or even, you know, at for sure at that level where you might be thinking about having a small office outside of your house and having a local acquisitionist, and we talked about that as well at this event. So, and plus, guys, we made live seller calls. Like,
oh, my goodness. Why do you think my voice sounds like this? I was doing 4 days, Brian and I, of live seller calls, deal after deal. I lost my voice, Ron, my number one commodity. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was
for you, that's like getting a deadly disease, isn't it, Lynette?
Yes, it is.
Oh, she'll be better. But it was an awesome event. When maybe some of the folks on the call were even there, but we had a great time.
Yes.
We want to update you on what's going on in our business.
Well, while you're on the phone, but go ahead.
Yeah, so we actually, right now, we're in the process of hiring our fourth local assistant. We also, one of the things we did on the Pretty House Bus Tour is we took the students over to a new commercial site. We're looking at, you want to tell them about that, honey? We're looking for the bigger office.
We have owner financing. We're working out on this. These people that own this property actually own the self-storage unit right next door, which is cash flowing great, and then they've got this building. It's 11,000 square feet. Right now it's sectioned into 4 units. They're all vacant at the same time. Liberty Mutual just moved out of there, so they're really in the mood to deal, and we're working out an owner financing deal where we can get the building, and basically you have our office rent free. So,
because we're gonna keep the little office run, and then we're going to move into this bigger office so that we're going to have multiple offices going on here. And the other thing was we actually we did do the country club dinner. That was obviously awesome. We live in Las Andes, and Las Andes Golf Course is a famous golfing community. So we had a very elegant country club dinner, and that went really – that was a big smash as well. But thank you for that last-minute call, Ron. I know I called you right before the event, and you were, as usual, just my savior and my hero, and we just love you. And thanks for talking to me right before the event and helping me out with those things.
Okay. Guys, while you're at it, go ahead and buy the self-storage units too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Those are popular.
I actually, you know what? We are looking into that, Ron.
If you are interested in commercial and you don't know about our Prosperity Partners Group, Ron, we'll team up with you on any commercial deal or even luxury homes or any deals you have problems with. We do split on that program 50-50, but if you can't close something, guys, you send it our way in that program, we'll get on the phone. We'll close it just like we've been doing at our event for the last few days. So
yeah,
think about that.
And we've actually got several deals working, don't we?
Sure do.
Oh, my goodness. We have incredible PPG deals going on now.
Under contract, not just talking about them.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Well, let's get to our members. They probably heard enough from you guys already.
Okay. I was just so excited. I had to share that. We just finished up yesterday.
All right.
We're excited. You're excited. Glad your event went well.
Thank you.
By the way, when is the next one scheduled?
November.
We're thinking November, because there was such a demand. We're going to have to get another one in before the end of the year, and that's a really good time for people to leave, like, some of the colder states to come on over to Arizona. November is, like, most beautiful time ever.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Okay. Who else wants to share what's going on in their business? And while you're
Dimitri,
at it, if you want to. Who is it?
Dimitri.
Dimitri. Okay, Dimitri, speak up. What's happening?
Well, right now I'm working with Lynette as my coach. Running into a couple of issues with sellers here in our market at Seattle. It's, you know, growing the dependency. So having issues with seller doing seller financing. So we're running into a couple of roadblocks here. Even the leads we're getting, like, from Zillow, are people asking a lot more than the asking price. But what we found, Lynette gave me a really good script to work with buyers, brokers. So I could still find deals on the MLS that are 15-20% discounted, but we are, like I said, running into trouble trying to convince some of the broker to take subject to or owner financing. But, you know, we're still getting some. So Lynette will get two numbers at our coach meeting in about an hour. But
yes, we're going to do your call in about an hour. That's right.
Yep. So that's what we're facing is, like I said, I'm jumping through more hoops trying to convince other brokers that this is the best deal for the client to take the leads and to take the house, you know, subject
all
to.
Right.
That's here.
Let me give you.
Go ahead.
Let me give you my thoughts on that, Dimitri. Okay. First of all, you were not taught to go through brokers to get pretty house deals. You are not going to like the way that system works out. You're not going to like the end results. You're beating your head against the wall. You're not going to get good results. When you tell me you're having trouble getting sellers to be okay with terms, that tells me there's only two or three things that can possibly be wrong. Number one, you're not approaching them correctly, and for some reason you're turning them off. Number two, Seattle is a hot market, as are many, many other markets around the country right now, but we still don't have too much trouble finding terms. And our number three, you've forgotten that it's all a math game. Our averages are 36% say yes to terms around the country, but of course that does take the low areas, the high areas, the good areas, the not so good areas, whatever. Worst case, you just need to get some more leads into the system. So even if your percentage is lower, you've still got more sellers than you need to work on. I'm thinking you're probably working too hard, and I'm betting that there is a problem in the process from the time you pick up the phone with the seller to get to a good conclusion. In fact, I'm making a note here that when I get you in the room in October, I am going to make you actually make that call as if you are – As if I am a seller, and we'll see if we can't spot it as a group. That's one thing we do in these meetings. We work on these problems as a group with everybody else's input, and I'll bet you we can fix what's broke there for you, and I bet you it's not that big of an issue to fix. But don't go off track. Don't go dealing with realtors just because you haven't cracked the code with the FSBOs yet. I'm telling you it's not the right direction to go.
Right. Well, I'm not, like I said, dumb. Right now I got two short sales got approved, so I'm going to be working on that. And again, that also was one of those deals that I called the realtors and dealt with them and just, you know, snatched sneaked my offer through, you know, around, you know, other people. But on the hot market, it's challenging.
Okay.
I got a seller right now in Hawaii. I'll talk to Lynette about it on the conference call. What she wants, how we're going to structure that offer. So, yeah. So, like I said, just look at the challenges in the hot market. People are either overpricing their houses by a lot, and I'm like, I don't feel jumping into the deal, or they're like, no, we want cash, and we are out. So, and, oh, another challenge is some brokers don't understand what we're doing. So I had Lynette called a few of them just to explain what we do. She also gave me a script how to talk to them. But it doesn't matter how hard you explain to them, hey, we're trying to take your house subject to. And they're like, what is that? How you do is, oh, let my seller go talk to the bank and let's see if they get a permission. So they don't understand the process. And
Dimitri,
here's the other thing, though. You should I've said
enough on that one. I don't want you to ever talk to another broker as long as you live.
Well, here's the thing, too. You don't ever want to be throwing around the term subject to anybody. And
absolutely not.
Anybody who has the seller's interest in mind, because they're not going to like it with their lawyer. You should not go saying subject to the seller's lawyer or have your lawyer ever say anything like that. In fact, to protect the seller, you're probably going to do a subject to as a wrap. And that way, you know, you don't ever have to use the word subject to. Just have your attorney set up a new mortgage.
All of that is absolutely on point. And frankly, any broker that allows you to buy their client's house subject to probably should have their license yanked.
Yep.
Okay.
So, again, what's coming out of your mouth, man? I'm telling you.
Don't worry. We'll fix them, Ron.
You and I have had this conversation, haven't we?
He's fixable.
Yes. Yeah, but it's going to take some work. All right.
Okay.
Who else wants to speak?
Delinda.
Belinda, talk to me. What's going on?
I'm still having a hard time building a team. The leads are not a problem. I've done all the marketing that you've suggested. I've got more leads than I can handle, but I just can't get to half of them because I keep hiring the wrong people.
Well, welcome to business. So do I. I made the mistake of hiring a manager for my new restaurant that I'm opening tomorrow, and that lasted 3 weeks. So I'm not going to be hiring any more managers. I'm going to let other people hire them for me. So because I, like you, suck at hiring people. So,
okay. All right.
Hey, Ron, why do you say that? How do you pick somebody good, Ron? What's your criteria?
For what? A manager?
Well, no, like if you're looking for a real estate assistant like these folks are looking for, how would you go about it? What would you look for?
Are you talking about an acquisitionist?
Well, yeah, acquisitionist or just starting off with like a, you know, $15 an hour assistant running buyers around and that kind of thing.
Well, if I were hiring an I'm going to let you tell them how to hire an acquisitionist in October.
Okay.
Put that on your agenda.
Yeah, because we have that new whole system in place, hiring and training your acquisitionist.
Put it on your agenda. I'm telling you right now, you're going to have about an hour or so to talk about it.
Okay, but
it depends on what I'm looking for. If I'm looking for an administrative type person like you're talking about, I'm proud to get all of those that I want just by running the ads. But if I'm looking for somebody of a higher level like I am, I mean, I got a lot of openings here right now. I mean, we need 7, 8, 10 good people.
Mm-hmm.
Even just at global, we're expanding. We're buying the buildings beside us. We're going to start a whole new virtual assistant department, new sales floor over there. We need a lot of good people. So we have the same issue that Belinda has, is finding those good people. But I got to tell you, this is if I have not learned anything in business, you got to keep doing what you got to do to find those good people, because if you find the right people, your business will prosper. If you find the wrong, it will not get off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest mistake entrepreneurs make is they try to put bad people into good jobs and expect them to turn good. And so I would go to a headhunter. And I told Jennifer the same thing. We got to get the word out. We don't just let one company run an ad on, I don't care how many websites they put it on. I would use headhunters. I let people do what they do best, and they screen people, and they hire people all the time. And what does it cost? Don't cost you anything unless you actually use them. So let them do all the front-end work. But that definitely starts with a description of what you want that person to do. I mean, what the qualifications you're looking for. And then all of them will send you candidates. And that's where I think everybody ought to start hiring everybody above the admin level.
What about using a temp service at the admin level, Ron? What do you think about that?
Well, I think that's perfectly okay, too. Now, the downside is that it's going to cost about $4 more per hour for the first 13 weeks, give or take. But so what? All of the pluses are you don't have to fire them, hire them. You can just call them up, say, send me another one. I don't like this one. And or, of course, you can buy them out. But, well, in fact, that even includes the payroll taxes. So it's really not $4 more per hour. So, you know, I like temp services for all of the above. What I don't like is having to screen through dozens and dozens and dozens of worthless resumes to try to figure out who's lying to me the least, and then go through that process. You know, I'm an avid believer in pre-screening.
Well, Delinda, you've gone through a service. You've gone through trying to hire people off, you know, ads and that.
Well, I've definitely hired. I've used the temp services, and that's why I'm ready just to try it on my own, because the temp services are bombing. And I just think it's that agency, because I think Ron's right. I think you have to go with people that do this day in and day out. But I just think this particular one must not be very good, because on paper,
fire
the candidates are great. Yeah.
Fire them.
Yeah.
I told Jennifer to go to three of them simultaneously. It don't cost anything.
That's true.
More of them working on it, the better.
That's a good point. Okay.
Just like any other vendor. Some of them are good, some of them are bad. And some of them are better suited for your needs than others as well. Just, you know, what you're doing right now, Melinda, is sitting around and letting your whole business be put on a hold because of one temp service can't find the person you're looking for. And you can't do that. It's an easy thing to do. We all fall into that trap.
Well, Delinda, you're doing a ton of deals, and this is eating up time, actually, is all the training, and then they don't turn out. So that's the key, is you want to try to find something. You know, it is a roll of the dice, but usually you can tell within the first pay period whether this person's going to work out. And this is one of your issues, Delinda, because I coach Delinda, and she's had people where within the first 2 weeks, every warning sign popped up, and I said, Delinda, this person's not going to work out. But it's hard for you to let go, and you kind of hung in there because you get invested, emotionally invested in the person. And then 3 months later, you finally get rid of them, and you wasted all that time. So if you find somebody who's not working out, get rid of them as soon as you can.
Delinda, if it makes you feel any better, I just did exactly what he described with my manager for the restaurant. I was told by everybody around her she wasn't going to make it. But, you know, I hired her. I didn't want to listen. Well, she's not here anymore. Now, we knew that. They knew that in the first week. Took me 3 weeks to get rid of her. So I'm guilty, too. Anyway, how many of you listening right now would like it if we actually spent a good amount of time on hiring an acquisitionist at the retreat?
Yes.
Yeah.
If you'd like that, just press any button right now. Okay, I guess I got my answer, huh?
Yeah,
that was a good answer.
There's some pent-up demand.
That's my voting system. Okay, all right.
Thank you.
Good job, Delinda. You're doing great out there, girl.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
I'm in trouble, Bree.
All right. Who else wants to chime in here?
Me.
Who's me?
Andrew Slag.
Oh, Andrew. Jump in, Andrew.
How y'all doing?
I'm good. How's that mobile home park doing? Are we going to buy that?
Yes, sir. I'm still working on that appraisal. It's supposed to close late May. At least that's what they're telling
me. Late May? Holy smokes. So how long has this seller given us in extensions already?
About 6 months.
Okay. But he's
That's
still
a
in
motivated
there,
seller.
Yeah.
Almost all the financing in place, and we're just waiting on the appraisal to get the last little bit, and then we're going to be closing. And that's a PPG deal. It's a commercial deal. and we got a good price on it of $365. Andrew did a good job of working with a local bank, actually, and arranging an 80% LTV loan. Now, we got to see what the appraisal comes in at to see exactly what we're going to get there. And then we have a couple of other investors, actually, who we if you guys were at the summit, you saw Andrew go up into a Shark Tank on this deal. And so actually a couple of investors who were students who were in the audience came up to us and wanted to invest. And we possibly have a little room on this, guys, so if you're interested in this, let me or Lynette know, or Ron, that that you might want to bring in some money on that one too. But we're almost there on that one. It's a great deal. And, guys, the upside on that, I mean, it looks like if the exit strategy is we turn this thing around in about 2 years, the vacancy factor is like 50%. Out of 60 lots, there's 31 occupied. So there's a lot of room for improvement, and it's cash flowing thousands of dollars positive right now as it's sitting. So this thing has huge potential. I think, you can get some big numbers in your head, but it wouldn't be surprising to have a $500,000 profit on this, if I'm looking at it right.
Well, I agree with that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh. Andrew,
so
I have a question. Did you turn 24 years old yet?
No.
It's in June, right?
May. You're real close.
May. I knew it was close.
Right up.
Hey, Andrew, how's your house business going?
It's going good. Actually, I was excited to hear you talking about the acquisitionist thing, because that's kind of been our weak point is finding the right person for helping. Robert's still doing great. Of course, me and Aaron still working together, and then we got one other girl helping take over a lot of the closings. In fact, that's why I got on the call late, because I just bought three this morning, was in a closing for those three.
You bought three this morning?
Yes, sir. They was an investor wanted to sell. From
all three
letter.
Of them? All three,
yeah.
Of them, one guy?
Yes, sir.
Buy them with terms?
Yes, sir. One of them, we got people interested in buying it cash out. So we're going to give him he wanted a down payment, so we're going to sell the one cash out when we sell it within 6 months. And then he'll get his down payment from that. The other two, we took over the debt. Both of them, one's bringing in $1,200 a month, one's bringing $1,400 a month, and the payment on each of them are $700 and change.
Nice. Okay.
Nice cash flow.
All right, well, so things are going good up there.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Trying to get a little more into the 150 and up range and a little less out of the 60 to 80,000 range, like Ron's been telling me for a while.
Good. I know we probably are all looking for an acquisitionist, or I'm actually looking for one myself. I keep hoping one will just walk in, but Lynette, do you actually have to do anything to find one, or what?
Yes, Ron, you have to do something.
Just put a sign in the window, Ron. Acquisition is haunted. Then at least you have a chance.
I'm going to get on it someday. All right. Who else wants to speak?
Well, Andrew, do you want to tell us anything else? So you're looking for a person, you're staffing, you have staffing issues. Do you have any issues with your house buying or selling? Are you selling easier or buying easier?
We're buying easier right now. I'm still heavily personally involved in the buying. Robert is taking care of more of the selling, which is doing a fantastic job on that. But probably the main thing, we've bought some, you know, that we had to have a little carpet or a little paint and things like that. And so that's probably been our selling. Buying's definitely been easier than selling, rather. And
so sometimes the process, your bottleneck is just doing those little fix-ups, the carpeting, paint, to get the thing ready to sell. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, sir. But Robert has helped me greatly with that because, for example, we just bought one subject to for $180,000. $5,000, and we closed it Monday afternoon, and Tuesday morning we got a down payment for it. They're bringing us $25,000 down.
Wow.
So anyway, that turned out, but he had the seller replace all the carpet as part of the deal.
Oh.
So that needed replaced. So he's actually started putting that burden on the sellers before we buy the house, and that's suggested that, and we've started doing a lot more of that.
That's a great thing. You know, I didn't ask that for a long time when I started, and, you know, I felt so happy and grateful that they were just giving me financing on it. And so then I changed my plan a little bit, and now if you guys look in your checklist, it actually will say in there, ask the seller if they'll do some of the work, you know, and give them a list. And if they'll do anything, they'll save you a little bit of money. But, again, don't push it. Don't screw up the deal based, you know, begging for a little repairs. That's not worth it. But good job, Andrew. If you can get somebody to do carpet before they move out, that's great.
And then we're the 369 or 359 deal we talked about at the Tennessee event. We're supposed to be talking to a buyer today with $40,000 down on it. We'll see how that goes.
Nice. Very nice. Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, we're running on time, short on time here, so who else wants to chime in here? What's going on in your business? What's your biggest issue? Because I've got your issues here.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. I have a question. Aside from PP&G partnerships, I'm wondering other people on the call, if they have partnerships and how that's working for each of you. I have a partnership. I've only got four of my properties in it right now, and I haven't put any more into it. It seems like I spend more time worrying about the partnership than I actually do finding deals and getting them closed.
You want me to comment on that?
Please do, Ron.
Okay. Your partnership is doomed. The kind of partnership that you described almost never works out, because sooner or later, one partner feels like he's getting screwed by the other one. One partner's doing the work, one partner's not. And frankly, you don't need a partner anyway. If you want to do partnerships, do them house by house. You do not do an entity and put two partners in it. It's just a recipe for disaster. Because now when you want to get out, you cannot get out without the other partner's consent, without dealing with the other partner. And sooner or later, you're definitely going to want to get out. In fact, the minute you realize, what do I need a partner for, which you don't, then you know, you're going to get bad feelings. And they keep on festering. You partner one entity does the work. Sometimes the other entity puts up the money. There's nothing wrong with that partnership. I did a lot of those, but over time I even wondered, what do I need them? Why do I need to give them 50%? Just put up the money. I get money for 7%. You know, 7% interest, not even 7% of the profits. So I figured out I don't need a money partner. So okay, what if I am the money partner? Well, then I do need an active partner. We used to call it mouse and elephants. The mouse did the work, the elephant put up the money. Over time, I became a melephant, and then in time, I found myself putting up the money and doing the work, so that crap stopped. And so individual partnerships, one-on-one, like we at PPG, we only partner on each individual house. There are no LLCs that we each own, and in fact, I don't even want to be in the entity that my partners take title on, because I don't want to have another tax return to worry about. So I'm just saying to you, you probably ought to figure out what's the exit out of this partnership and come to an amenable solution now before your bitter enemies, and get it over with, because you do not need a partner.
Yeah, I took them on as equity partners, and I wrote the operating agreement, so I have plenty of outs, and I just stopped putting my properties into them because
you don't need equity partners.
They didn't have the equity. They didn't have the equity. They were no longer partners on these other properties.
Yeah. Well, you don't need equity partners. You just need private lenders, and they're a lot cheaper, and that's just on the deals where you're actually doing cash. All the deals that most of the deals that I do today are not all cash deals. Look at Andrew. Andrew, almost all your deals are terms deals, aren't they, Andrew?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I know Wolves do about 98% terms deals.
Yep, 98%, yeah.
Yeah,
when you're doing terms deals, there's absolutely no reason for a partner. You just need a team. And, of course, that comes back to the acquisitions thing.
Well, Brian and Lynette, I look forward to working with you. I know I'm delinquent and catching up to you, but that's because I've had other partnership issues to deal with. But I look forward to mentoring with you.
Okay,
that sounds great.
You'll get past it. By the way, every one of our mentors are going to be in October at our retreat now, because they're getting treated too. So you guys are going to have a really good assortment of folks to talk to that are actually doing deals day in and day out. Okay.
Hey, Ron, it's Dixie and Dixie.
Hey,
how
Dixie.
Are you?
Dixie, you're up there where we're going, aren't you?
Yeah. Close to. We're Missouri.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's not where we're going.
I have a question for you. We kind of have the same issues as everybody else as far as finding an assistant for acquisitions, and then we have a small bottleneck on some of the, you know, freshening a property up with some carpet and paint. It's like you can't find anybody that's worth a darn. And then on top of that, right now we have several, we work every kind of deal there is to work, and I'm not even doing much marketing right now. We have so many people locally bringing us deals that don't know how to work deals that we end up, you know, buying them out for $500 and taking over the deal.
Yeah.
Amongst that is coming package deals that are almost overwhelming to handle with all of the other smaller transactions and rehabs going on. So, like, right now we have a package of 32 houses. The guys were willing to do owner financing on them with nothing down. My question when I assess these, it becomes overwhelming because, A, they always overvalue the junk they have, and,
right.
Two, I don't want to keep all this junk, so I'm trying to determine what I should wholesale off or what I should keep is, like, handyman
yeah.
special, work for equities, et cetera. Because there's so many moving pieces, I have trouble evaluating those. Do you just
yeah.
break them down piece by piece?
Well, that it takes some concentrated focus. I'll tell you that. And you have to first start with all the facts. And if you don't get all of the facts, like half of it's left out, you're never going to be able to come to a conclusion and sometimes can't even figure out why. I'm
yes.
going to want to know every single expense on every single property, all the rents, what kind of condition they're in, and what the taxes and insurance are, of course, and what kind of area they're in. And this is going to take some time. Now, the seller is responsible for providing you all of the financial information about the properties. And
mm-hmm.
if they can't, it's not because they can't, it's because they won't. And if they won't, my flags are going to go up, wondering why. But you are correct. They're probably going to want a lot more than I'd be willing to pay them. And I would make sure that you structure this thing so that your risk is minimal. You're going to buy them in an entity. An entity will guarantee the debt. Every single one of these houses needs its own release clause in case you want to cash out of it, which you likely will, many of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that release clause needs to be less than the value of the property so that you can actually get paid when you cash out of these things and reduce the debt. And then you're mm-hmm. going to want several months to go by before you pay this guy a red cent. Because you need
for
to get
sure.
your head around it. In fact, you'll need 60 days due diligence time just to get your head around all of these properties. And, of course, that starts with a contract. And then, of course, the contract starts with the terms. But, you know, I'd make sure that the seller's aware that I'm going to go do my due diligence. And here's what I can offer you now. We may have to change these after I get through the facts. But if it's as you represent, I think we're pretty much okay. And then this thing has to be structured so that you know you have a good, strong, positive cash flow on this puppy from day one. And
okay.
I actually have three questions on this, Dixie. Are these all separate individual single-family residences in a single area?
Yes.
Or what are these, 32?
They're just houses, and they range from low-end stuff of $450 a month up to $800 a month. They're just
okay.
rentals for this guy.
But
right
they're
now.
All individual houses then. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My next question is, will he split these up, or is he, you know, adamant about selling them all as a block?
Buy them all.
Yeah.
Buy them all.
Yeah,
don't want
to
split them up.
All together right now.
All right, well, then my last question is, Dixie, how are you guys not in PPG with Ron helping you on this stuff?
That was my question.
I mean, come
hey,
on. This guy's an expert. You can tell in 3 minutes he knows 10 times more than you do, and he could help make a bunch of money off this, or this deal's going to get fumbled away because you're not going to really understand all the moving parts, like you said. Now, if you had Ron advising you, you would know exactly what to do. So,
give her a little credit there, Brian. She's pretty smart.
Yes, she's pretty darn smart.
True.
Actually, Dixie does amazing, and you guys do some awesome stuff with student housing and all kinds of different stuff. You guys are absolute superstars. But, you know, we could help you guys on a lot of these commercial deals or stuff that is especially tricky like this one.
But nice mm-hmm. clothes, Brian.
Thank you.
Okay.
Great.
All right. Great job, Dixie.
Thanks, guys.
Alton Jones, just want to say hello to everybody.
Hey, who's this?
Hey, Alton.
Hi, Alton.
Alton, hey.
Alton happens to be in my office today.
Really?
Are you getting ready for your event?
Oh, every day.
Oh, he went to the Kennedy event, and now he's going to go down to the Robbins event this week.
Oh, okay.
So I got to put up with him all week.
Hey, how was the Kennedy event?
Well, let's don't talk about that.
Okay.
That's a sore spot for me right now.
Okay.
Sorry, I wasn't there. We were pretty busy at our pretty house.
Yes.
All right, who else wants to chime in today? Don't all speak at once.
Well, I'll just say something. That, you know, we got our event coming up August 10th, 11th, and 12th in Pasadena, California. We're excited about it. We're just finishing up some finalization on some things, and we'll be having our funnel launched probably in June. So it's going to be a fantastic event with the bus tour. We just finished one of our houses that we did on the bus tour in L.A., and we're actually going to be closing at the end of the week. Going to be making about $126,000 profit on the deal that we bought. For those people who actually went through that deal and saw that deal that we did in Carson, California, we have another deal that's coming offline and finishing up in the next 3 weeks. And that property, we already got three buyers lined up for it at $848,000. And we're going to probably profit about $260,000 on that one deal. And both those deals, we bought owner finance and taking over debt subject too. So things are really rocking. Right now on that, and so this, by the time June comes up, we'll probably be generating almost $500,000 in income just on three properties that we have started just since January.
Very nice. That's Alton talking, in case you didn't pick that voice up. And Alton is a very good example of quality, not quantity. He makes a lot of money on a few deals. It's something you guys might want to actually start thinking more about. We're working with him to help him create this rehabbing boot camp, and it's coming along very nicely. So you'll probably get a letter on that when we release it, which is going to be soon, isn't it, Alton?
Yes, sir. Real soon.
Okay. All right. I'm looking at you guys' evaluation forms here that we sent you, and somebody has a problem with getting an option fee classified as retained earnings, so it's not considered current income. Who is that?
That's Jeff Pinter.
Jeff, very simply, you get to decide whether you want to pay taxes on it in the year you collect it or not. It's up to you. It's not up to anybody else. It's up to you to tell your CPA I want to call it income or I don't want to call it income until the option is defaulted or exercised.
Well, I keep getting a lot of pushback from my accounting firm. So
well,
I was just wondering if anybody else had that same issue.
What's the pushback?
And
what do they want to do?
Well, they want me to classify it as income as I receive it, and I keep.
I think that's probably a smart move for you, Jeff. But because the truth is, you're going to pay taxes on it. It's just whether it's this year or next year. And I don't see tax brackets going down next year. Do you?
No, but I can see a long-term capital gain a lot better than a short-term capital gain.
That's not the issue. That's not the issue. You're going to pay taxes. Well, it is an issue if they don't classify it correctly. Since it's not sold yet, I don't know how they can call it a short-term capital gain. That's certainly a discussion I'd want to have with them.
Yeah,
if they want to classify it as short-term
income,
huh?
They're classifying option fees as income.
So they want you mean income. You're going to pay short-term capital gains on that.
Well, yeah, to be in my current tax bracket rather than a long-term capital gain. Again,
okay, well, no, then I would absolutely agree with you, sir. I'd fight that battle and tell them I don't want to do that. Because you don't have to. Have you pulled up the IRS code yourself dealing with option deposits?
No.
Probably
no,
should.
I haven't.
Probably should. And worst case, you have to change firms. Because there's no way I'd let them charge me with short-term capital gains if on a long-term deal. No way.
Well, and then I have a hard time putting it back against the basis of the house, too. So I'll look up the IRS code or ask them to.
All right. Anybody else got any issues on here that you'd like to bring up in our last 10 minutes? Boy, this is an exciting group.
We've all got it all handled.
Okay.
That's right.
Now, you guys better get more excited than this in October, I'll tell you right now. We're going to have to take 2 days in Dollywood.
All right, Ron, I'll go ahead and ask a question of you or anybody else who'd like to throw some advice this way. This is Brett Baratini from Louisiana. First, I just guess I'd say I apologize. I didn't get the sheet into you. I actually got the email when I was en route to Tampa. I just got off of a sport fisher. Some friends and I moved it from Tampa to Destin. It was a great weekend. So I'll do better on the next call to actually get a sheet in when you ask me to do so. My question for you is, I purchased a pretty house down here in Louisiana, started getting it marketed to be sold in about, I don't know, mid to late March, and I've been sitting on it now for a couple mortgage payments. It kind of reminds me of that deal you always describe where you say, hey, turn down some lower down payment offers to wait for a bigger one. And I'm quite content doing that, but I certainly can't wait to see the $50,000 buyer appear, you know. When do you?
What price house?
I have it priced at $349,900.
Yeah.
And my question is, I know in our boot camps and our seminars, we always say the price doesn't matter as much as the terms on these pretty house deals.
Yep.
Also, just a question, when do you decide to reduce a price to help you get houses sold? I'm conflicted on the issue because I understand that the price isn't as important as the terms, but thinking as other people always say, reduce the price to sell, that's where I'm wondering.
All right, well, let me answer it. What would the house actually appraise for right now?
Probably $300,000 to $315,000, somewhere.
Well, you got a price too high, Brett. You're getting greedy.
Okay.
Yeah, you might get by with 329, not 349. That's
My plan on the sale is actually to, of course, probably wrap a deal up, lock something in with someone at about 329.
That doesn't matter, Brett. You're scaring them away on the front end. Look, any moron could go on Zillow and figure out your price is way overpriced.
Gotcha.
So,
all right,
but you asked me, when do I reduce the price? And the answer is I don't reduce the price if it's priced right to begin with. $329,000 I will accept if your $315,000 is correct, and only if.
Brett, are you doing one or two?
Let me finish. I do not reduce the price, but I will reduce the down payment that is set in my mind that I'm going to accept. If I don't find a buyer that I'm suitable, happy with within a couple of months, then I'm going to start getting more flexible, especially if I'm making payments on the property while I'm waiting.
10-4. Thank you, Ron.
All right.
Well, I had a quick question. Are you doing a 1 or 2 year lease option on the sale of these?
Whatever my buyer asked for.
Right. I mean, I actually just took title to the property, so I'm just going to see who appears. You know, I might do a lease option. I might do a contract for deed. I might do owner financing, just depending on what the buyer's.
A contract for deed is owner financing. But it depends on whether I want to get to the back end or not, if you want to know the truth. If I got a great big back end, it's going to be a 1 year term if I want it. If I don't care, I'll let the buyer tell me. But not more than two. Doesn't mean I won't go longer, but it does mean I won't go longer on my front end option.
The only thing is, if you're holding the price for more than 12 months and you're in a highly appreciating area, you're sacrificing the appreciation if you give them 2 years or more. So we have a pretty appreciating area where we are here, so it's rare where, unless they really insist on it, that I'll write one for more than 12 months.
Well, I would too in that case. It would be 1 year at a time.
So I always write contracts for 2 years, and I put two different purchase price.
Oh, you're okay then. If you're working that in, then you're okay.
Thanks for that tip on the appreciation.
How long you're going to hold it, because if he wanted to get $349,000 for the second year, it'd be easy to do.
All right. Guys, before we run out of time, are you guys, how many of you have a Well, I know how many of you have a VA. What am I saying? I got the list. About half of you do not have one of our VAs. You should know that we are expanding that department and actually looking for a permanent manager for that department. Right now, we're probably going to promote from within. And this new CRM thing, I'm sure that you guys have not taken much time to investigate that yet, but you need to for your own benefit. Hell, it's free if you're at 297 level or above. And this thing is really cool. It literally runs your business for you. And I'll tell you another thing that it has on it, and that is that it's set up so that if you're going to have people go find you FSBO leads or vacant houses or whatever, they can now put them into your website, and it'll kick it back if, in fact, it's a dupe. So this thing keeps track of all the leads, and you'll know exactly what's going on with all of them, and just it's numerous, the things that it does. Spits out mailing lists for you, has a comp section on it, spits out comps. Oh, incidentally, before I forget it, because I know most of you don't know about this website, I discovered a kick-ass website for comps, about the easiest thing I've ever seen. It's realestateabc.com. Write it down. It's an app.
Hey, Roy.
Actually, it's a website.
I got a question.
Wait a minute.
This is Julie Castro.
Just a minute, Julie. Realestateabc.com. Realestateabc.com. Write that down. You're going to love the way that thing spits out all your comps right there in line item right on the front page. Okay, Julie, go ahead.
Okay. My question is, I have a lot of my students are having issues with the new Dream system. Is there any way that we can do some sort of a class that teaches them how to use their Dream system effectively?
Already in the works, plus there's multiple videos for each piece of it that should be up very quickly if they're not already. And, yes, we know that there has to be a training system, but also know that our VAs do all that crap for them as well. But just the same.
Well,
the client should know what it'll do. What?
All of my students are telling me that their VAs don't know how to use them. None of them have them up and running yet.
Well, I will have to find out if that's true or not. But, Debbie, are you listening?
Yes, I am. I'm here, Ron. To let you know also, all of our VAs have just gone through a full-day training seminar on how to use the new system, and we are currently having professionally created videos. We already have a lot of them on the actual site that go through each of the modules. So, for instance, if you wanted to see how to use the marketing section, then, you know, there is training and tutorials there. Nick and I will be pushing out. We will actually send you guys some links today. I've already talked to him about this.
Great.
While the call has been going on. We will send you guys some links today that you can go over with your clients or your students. And, you know, that should help facilitate that. Like Ron said, there is a manual that's being built. We have training materials in the works for it. So you could just let your students know that. But we are really working hard right now to make that all happen.
All right. Thank you.
Sure.
Just another one of those free things that we offer that is a giant pain in the ass to get delivered properly, but it's working. We're working on it. So, anyway, thought I'd bring that up. Guys, you don't want to turn your back on this thing. It's really incredible what it does, and frankly, my description of it sucks. So, in fact, Debbie, why don't you know the thing that you guys created for me that describes what this thing does?
Yes.
Would you
the flyer that we did?
Yeah, put that in an email and send it out to these folks, will you?
Yes, I sure will.
All right. Okay, we're running out of time. Anybody got any last-minute comments, anything you want to tell us or ask us?
Well, thank you for this awesome call, Ron.
Hey, Ron, it's Debbie again. If I may just say, if I could just ask all of our students and our mentors to just please send us in your success stories and let us know about your deals that you're doing. We want to make you famous and put you in the weekly report and the mentor. And we love to hear from you guys. So you can always send those to either me, Debbie at Global Publishing, Inc., or VIP Services is great, too.
All right. Well, we'll probably see you before, but I'll see you in October if not. Thanks for being on the call
today.
Go do some deals. See you soon.
Thank you.